You're listening to The Doug Haldeman Show, Mortgage and Real Estate Talk. Here's your host, mortgage expert and consumer advocate, Doug Haldeman.
Welcome back to the show. Rejoined by my partner in crime, Tammy Haldeman, talking about investing in real estate as a couple.
Right.
Let's jump back into this because we left off talking about buying a property at the auction.
Right.
Okay, and you know, the pros and cons of that.
Right.
There are a ton of them.
Tons.
You know, it's
good and bad.
Well, the fact that you have to be a cash buyer for one.
Yes, you do.
You have to bring to the auction a cashier's check for 10% of whatever the purchase price
Correct.
Is. Correct. So we didn't know exactly what we were going to buy it for.
We just knew our budget. So that's the that's the key. So if you have a $150,000 budget and you're not going to go any more over that amount,
you have to go with a $15,000
cashier. Because it doesn't matter. That money goes to the property.
Right. And knowing, like, you have to research the deeds in advance to know what's very probable that's owed on this property.
Right.
And then figure out what research can you do on the property, considering it may be occupied.
Right.
It may not. And you need to know that difference because if it's still occupied, once you buy it, you're going to have to evict the homeowner.
Correct.
You're going to have to evict.
And if you have to go to court, that's at least $1,300.
And it's going to take you a while.
Right.
To get them out of the property.
Right.
So, like the one we bought, it was vacant.
Right.
And with a vacant house, you can kind of walk around and look at it. You might be able to peek in some windows, but you can't get in it typically.
Right.
And that's a pretty big detriment because it's a little like the storage wars where they buy these things in storage units and you open it up and then you figure out what's in there.
And there's a tricycle.
Right. You have no idea what's going to be in there. Right. Well, it's the same thing. We had to pick the locks.
Because you don't get the keys.
Yeah, we didn't get the keys, so we had to go pick the locks.
Get the title,
but you don't get
the keys.
Right. So it's like Christmas morning, just opening up that
to
gift.
See what you have.
Yeah, see what you get.
We were really lucky on this one. So the property wasn't too bad.
They removed every cabinet from the kitchen.
That is true.
To sell them on
we
Craigslist.
Had
so they're all, every cabinet's out in the middle of the
kitchen
floor.
Kitchen cabinet Jenga.
Right.
I'll call it. So that was interesting. But, I mean, we were pretty lucky, I have to say.
Fortunately, they couldn't sell them. They were all still sitting there.
Right. And I just was. And I had a brand new furnace, a brand new water heater. So those are big purchases. I had a lot of the foundation work done already, drain tile in and sump pump in. And so I really got lucky on that one.
Right. We definitely had some fortunate things with it. So let's talk risk tolerance real quick.
Definitely.
When couples want to invest in real estate, that's one of the biggest conflicts that I see is that do the husband and wife match on risk tolerance on being able to have a stomach for this? Because this is high risk.
So layman's term on risk analysis, because it's what gives you certainty. So, for example, it's a wife usually likes to know that there's money in the bank to go grocery shopping.
Right.
That gives them certainty.
Well, the number one human need is a need for certainty.
Right.
And women have a higher need for certainty than men typically do. Men have that need too.
Sure.
But knowing that need is there for women.
Right.
There's a lot of uncertainty involved.
When you're doing that type of investment.
Right.
For sure.
Any type of real estate investment, really, because
I lost sleep. A couple days there that I didn't sleep well because I had a scare.
Right.
I was like freaking out in my head. I had to take sleeping pills and they didn't work. So.
Well, is the risk real? Absolutely.
Right.
It's real. I've seen people get washed out. And out of the 190 properties that I flipped, I've made money on 185 of them. But the five that I lost money on were such large amounts of money that it wiped out, certainly nowhere near all the gains, but it wiped out enough that it left some pain. Like I remember
those. That's what I don't have, but you do, so that's why we make a good team, because you know the signs for that.
Well, yeah, the things to watch out for, and the things that we lost money on before were very clear, and I certainly won't make those mistakes again. So make sure you have a similar risk tolerance and talk about those things before you get into this.
Right.
You definitely have to have a strong stomach for that part. So let's talk about, Tammy, let's talk about on the rehab, because how are some ways you've been creative to cut the cost of the rehab?
Well, to cut the cost, I've done some of the labor myself. I've recruited some family and friends to come and help that donated their labor. But The lighting is extremely expensive. So you walk into Home Depot and you want a new light, that's going to be $175. So my creative is Craigslist.
Right.
Because there's this particular home had a lot of chrome or brushed nickel already in it, and to replace all of that with the new upcoming rub oil bronzed whatever would be silly, because there's nothing wrong with what's going on and it looked nice for this house. So I was able to get some Craigslist finds and things like that. So that's where I saved a lot of money.
And it does take more time, and this is a strategy that you can't use if you're doing properties in mass. Like if you're trying to do a lot of rehabs, you don't have time to run around buying stuff on Craigslist. If you're doing one,
unless
property
you have
at a time,
people set up for that,
right?
If you
that's
have
part
people
of your
in
system,
place,
yeah,
to help
but
you.
If you're doing one property at a time, now it may be worth your time to go out and find a few of those deals on Craigslist. Time is money, so there's still a cost to doing it.
I enrolled my retired parents to help me look for things, so they've been helping me find certain deals as well, and that's saved me time and money. So,
when we talk too about how much work do you do yourself, that conversation is it's a long topic. But I'm going to say that I had a few requirements around that, because I already said that I'm not going to do much myself.
Right.
But even any work you did, you have to keep track of your hours, and you have to bill. You have to bill those hours at a rate. And we said $25 an hour is how much your time is worth for your labor.
Right.
Because that can't be considered in your profit on the job.
Right.
Those have to be kept separate. Mm-hmm. Very, very important things. Another thing, when we look at what are some of the biggest missed items that people have, I think you have to talk about carrying costs. People underestimate their carrying costs.
Right.
However much time you think it's going to take to be able to do the rehab, you better double it.
So the goal for us on this one is 3 months.
Right, and 3 months, but we better prepare for six.
Right.
You better figure in your closing costs, your interest, your property taxes, insurance, the commissions on the resale when you go back to sell it.
Right.
All those things come into play. And, Tammy, we're going to let's put some pictures on our website at smartwithyourmoney.com.
Yeah,
visit that site this week, and we'll start to document in our blog post this rehab. You can see some before pictures, see some after pictures. Mm-hmm. And get to see some of Tammy's handiwork. I'm proud of you. You're doing great. All right, so check smartwithyourmoney.com. Check on the status of that. And just remember, you don't want to miss next Sunday at 4 p.m. right here on FM News Talk 97.1. Becoming a financial juggernaut, as simple as listening every Sunday at 4 p.m., modeling the advice of the experts, and implementing your personal plan. See you next week.